Please pray with me. Almighty and ever-living God, the source and perfection of all virtues, please grant that I may employ myself in what is just and preach what is true, so that in my preaching and in my ministry I may provide for your faithful people the teaching that brings them grace. Amen. As the first month of our new year draws to a close, are we filled with hope that God will bless us for the next 11 months? Or do we feel as if God has abandoned us? But what about God? Is God pleased with how we've started the new year that he has given to us? Or is God disappointed? The first 8 verses we heard from the prophet Micah puts the Lord and the Israelites in a trial. The Lord says, okay, guys and girls, after all I've done for you, why aren't you happy? What's going to make you happy? And the people say, dear Lord, as we come before you, what will make you happy? Now, I don't know about you, but many times I do not know what will make me happy, let alone make God or someone else happy. Perhaps happiness and contentment are elusive because we make things more difficult than necessary by looking at our lives with a magnifying glass instead of looking at them with a telescope. Let me explain. When we look at our lives with a magnifying glass, all the dirt, all the fractures in our relationships, and the mistakes we've made always look bigger than they really are. But when we look at our lives through a telescope, like looking at the Earth from outer space, we see a different picture. We see the whole picture, the beauty of God's grace, where the dirt, the scars, and the mistakes all combine to make you the beautiful person that God sees. In order to modify our perceptions of ourselves and others, we must modify how we approach life by looking at life and people from God's perspective. Let's start with the Ten Commandments. Did you ever notice that they consist of 9 you must nots? 9 you must nots, and only 1 remember to. And interestingly enough, the remember to is to rest and to keep the Sabbath day holy. Remember to rest and keep the Sabbath day holy. It's very difficult to live a full, joyful life when whatever we've been programmed to do is to not do this or that. To not do this or that. And no matter how old we are, we always tend to lean into what we are not to do. Now, just to prove that point, think about the last time you went to the doctor. And the doctor told you you couldn't eat something you really love. What did you immediately want to do? You wanted to eat it, didn't you? And as much of it as you could before you had to stop. We tend to do what we ought not to do. Just like the Apostle Paul, who wrote in Romans 15:5, I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. And because we find it difficult to do what we are supposed to do, Jesus had mercy on us. So instead of having these 10 long commandments for us to follow, Jesus did the summary of the law and got it down to just a few, 2. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. But as great as Jesus' summary of the law is, it doesn't give to us what we mere human beings need the most. We need a to-do list. We all have to-do lists. They may be in our minds. They may be on that piece of paper that we keep conveniently losing. But we all have to-do lists. And that is what makes the prophet Micah so wise. He gives us a very short, godly, these things are good to-do list. It's so very short that it only has three positive things that the Lord requires of us: to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. Professor Cornel West seems to have combined the first two when he wrote, "Never forget that justice is what love looks like in public. Never forget that justice is what love looks like in public." And the one who practices justice, that is being fair or making things fair, is one who loves and is blessed by God. For Jesus preached, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." French moralist Joseph Joubert fleshed out how to love kindness when he wrote, "A part of kindness consists in loving people more than they deserve. A part of kindness consists in loving people more than they deserve." George Washington Carver reminds us, "How far you go in life depends on your being tender with the young, compassionate with the aged, sympathetic with the striving, and tolerant of the weak and the strong. Because someday in your life, you will have been all of these." And Mark Twain says that loving kindness is the language the deaf can hear and the blind can see. Loving kindness is the language the deaf can hear and the blind can see. We may be able to be just in all our dealings with other people. We may smother people with loving kindness. However, the extent that we are able to do justice and to love kindness is only possible to any great extent when we walk humbly with God, as it has been shown to us in the life of Jesus Christ, which is perhaps the most difficult thing for us to do. Mother Teresa teaches on this subject, "Practicing humility is to speak as little as possible of oneself, to mind one's own business, to not want to manage other people's affairs, to avoid curiosity, to accept contradictions and corrections cheerfully, to pass over the mistakes of others, to accept insults and injuries, to accept being slighted, forgotten, and disliked, to be kind and gentle even under provocation, and never to stand on one's dignity, and to always choose the hardest. Therefore, when we are humble, we will always be walking with God." For the rest of this day, this week, month, and year, how will you do justice? How will you love kindness? And how will you walk humbly with your God? How will you do justice? How will you love kindness? And how will you walk humbly with your God? We will now have a moment of silence for reflection.